Masechta Shabbos, Daf Pei Aleph, the Mishnah. The amount of bone needed to be chayev for haitzah and Shabbos is enough to make a spoon, Rabbi Yehuda says, to make a chaf, glass, enough to sharpen a weaving instrument. The Gemara. How many stones does one have to carry into a beis hakiseh to be chayev? My answer is 3 stones. Some say a handful. In fact, one can take in 3 stones to the beis hakiseh to be able to wipe himself. Rava says, one cannot use a pebble to induce a bowel movement on Shabbos, since we're chayshish for geizes, that he will cut hairs. But if one does this kelachar yad, then it would be mutter, since to do geizes kelachar yad, it's only usser midrabanan. If one drinks wine sediment, uses the pebble of his friend for the beis hakiseh, or relieves himself while standing, he can get diseases. The Gemara says even though certain actions are required to do or not to do, but sometimes for kavod habrius, human dignity, this overrides an iser. As we say, gadol kavod habrius, shedeicha leisaseh shebetera. Just like kavod habrius is deicha hashavas aveda, sometimes, so too it is deicha the iser of muktzah, i.e. not to touch stones on Shabbos, which are really muktzah machmas gufay. Still in all, a person is allowed to use them if he needs them for the purpose of kavod habrius. In other words, one may use stones to wipe himself after using the bathroom, if he had no prepared stones or cut bathroom tissue available, because the Isser of Muktzah was lifted for the sake of Kavod HaBrius. Kuntres Aladaf mentions the Shaila of the Paiskim, who consider whether one who uses the bathroom on Shabbos and does not have any cut bathroom tissue, whether he can violate the Isser of Kerea, tearing, and tear paper from a roll for the sake of Kavod HaBrius. One point addressed is whether cutting paper involves a Melacha Min HaTorah of Kerea, or only an Isser Min Rabbanan. The Ritva, in the Gemara in Makkah, Daf Gimel Amid Beis, deduces from the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Gimel Amid Aleph that tearing that is not done al menas litaken, with the intent of repairing, is only Osir Min Rabbanan. The Mishnah implies that tearing is considered a Melacha Min HaTorah only if one tears al menas litaken. Such type of tearing was performed in the Mishkan when one of the curtains of the Mishkan would develop a hole. The craftsman would then tear the fabric to enlarge the hole so they can mend it neatly. Accordingly, if one has no bathroom tissue and he has no other option available, there are grounds to permit him to tear some bathroom tissue from a roll because the concern for human dignity takes precedence over rabbinical isurim. This would... The Rambam in Perek Yud of Hilchos Shabbos Halacha Yud Aleph indicates that any act of tearing that is done for constructive purposes is considered kerea, even if it is not done al menas litvor. Accordingly, it would not be permitted to tear bathroom tissue merely for the sake of kavod habrius, because one may not actively violate an Isser Min HaTorah for the sake of Kavod HaBrius. The Chelkas Yaakov in Chelek Gimel, Simen, Kuf, Chof Gimel, concludes that even according to the opinion that tearing paper for any constructive purposes is a Melacha Min HaTorah, one may still tear the bathroom tissue Kila Achar Yad in an unusual manner, because performing a Melacha in an unusual manner is only Osir Min Rabbanan, as we'll learn in the Mishnah on Daf Tzadik Beis Amar Alf. The Chuvas Avnei Yashveh, Narachayim Simen Ayin Zayin, says that if one must tear bathroom tissue from a roll, he should tear one large piece rather than several small pieces. The Gemara says if someone has meat stuck between his teeth, he cannot prepare a toothpick since he should have prepared this before Shabbos. If a person makes himself vulnerable to magic, even during the week, he's chayev. Finally, we paskin like a Stam Mishnah that a dover she'ena miskaven is mutter. Therefore, since a nazir cannot cut hairs, he's not allowed to use a comb either, because he may pull out a hair. But to use his hands to smooth his hair, that's mutter, since even though he may pull a hair, but this is considered a davar she'ena miskaven, and a davar she'ena miskaven is mutter. Daf Pei Beis. If a person has to relieve himself, but he doesn't, he can cause illness to himself. And if one needs to relieve himself, he certainly should not eat. And one who is constipated, he should walk around a bit, and that will help the situation. The Mishnah. For cheres, one must carry enough to support a board to be chayev for haitzah. Reb Meir says enough to support a fire. Finally, Reb Yossi says enough to hold a revius of liquid. This marks the end of this parak. Now let's begin the 9th parak, Amar Rabbi Akiva, the Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva asks, how do we know that an avodah zarah can be metame via masa, carrying it, even if one doesn't actually touch it? This is similar to if one carries a nida, that one doesn't actually touch the nida, but still can be metame through masa. Mishnah answers, since the pasuk compares avodah zarah to nida, as we learn in the pasuk in Yeshaya, parak lamed, Tizarem kemaydava, you will alienate yourself from idols just as you would a nida, just as a husband separates from his wife during her nida period, so too tells Yeshaya that the Jews in the future will sever themselves from avodah zarah. since the pasuk makes this comparison, the two are actually compared, and both can be metame via masa, even if one doesn't actually touch it. The Gemara. If someone's house shares a common wall with the house of an Avodah Zarah, and the wall falls down, one cannot rebuild that wall because it's giving a benefit to the Avodah Zarah. So the Eitzah in that case would be to build the wall 4 amas inward. If we have an Eden Misoma, a stone suspended by pegs, and a Nida or a Zav sits on it, Kalim underneath can become Tame. And if the same Chumra applies to an Avodah Zarah, that's a Machlekes, i.e. Avodah Zarah is compared to a Nida regarding Mitame Bemasa, but if it's compared to a Nida regarding Eben Misoma, that's a Machlekes. Rabbi Kiva says yes, Rabba says no. Daf Pe Gimel. Avodah Zarah, anything that services it, they are Tame, but if they are carried but not touched, they are not Mitame. Rabbi Akiva says they are. Midaraisa Tumas Zav does not apply to a guy, but Midarabana there is Tumas Zav. If a Zav sits down on one plate of a scale, and the other side of the scale which has food now rises up, the food becomes Tame, since this is called Heset of the Zav. But if the food comes up and they push down the Zav, then they are Tahar. If an Avodah Zarah is so small, it's smaller than a Kazayis, regarding the Isra of Hanah for Avodah Zarah applies to it as well. Just like a Sheretz is Metame Ba'adosha, the size of a lentil, so too with Avodah Zarah. The next Mishnah. The halacha is that a wooden ship is not Mekabel Tumah like a regular Keli, since it's compared to the sea, as we learn from the Pasuk. Just like the sea cannot become Tame, so too a ship cannot become Tame. The Gemara. If a boat is not made from wood, it's a Machlaikis if it can be Mekabel Tumah. Rabbi Yehuda Marav says, La'olam al yimna adam es atzmai mi beis hamedrash. A person should always go to the beis hamedrash, even if it's just for a minute, and even as he's about to die, he should go. As the Pasuk says in Bamidbar Yotes, Zeis hatayra adam ki yamos ba'ayel. Shlakish adds that ein divrei tayra miskaimin ela b'misha meimis atzmai aleha. Adam ki yamos ba'ayel, as we learn from the Pasuk, that the words of tayra will only last by one who, so to say, dies over it. Daf Pei Dalet. Hanina says the reason a wooden boat cannot be mekabel tumah is because it can't be moved when it's full, except by water, unlike a davar metaltalin, which can be moved. If a zav sits on a klei cheres, it's tahar, there's no tumas medrus. Rabbi Yossi adds, even a boat is not tame. A small boat, if it can be moved, it's a machlekes if it can be mekabel tumah or not. And if a klei cheres is tame, it cannot become tahar via tefillah. On the same token, it cannot be mekabel tumas medrus. Next Mishnah. Normally, it's usher to plant different kinds of seeds due to the iser of kelaim, i.e. together. However, if we have an aruga, a vegetable patch, which is 6x6 tefachim, it is possible to plant 5 different types of seeds and not be over on the iser kelaim. This is done by planting 4 different seeds on the 4 sides of the aruga and 1 in the middle. This would work and there would be no iser, because normally a seed draws nourishment from 1.5 tefachim in each direction. But here, no 2 seeds are closer than 3 tefachim from each other, so no one seed is yoinik from a different one. And this scenario is not a problem, since we see this from the pasuk in Yeshaya Samach Aleph. Ki ba'aretz taitzi tzimcha, ukegana zera'eha tatzmiach. It says zera'eha in plural, and not zara singular. Gemara. We see 5 different seeds from 5 words. Taitzi is 1, tzimcha is 2, zera'eha, which is plural, which is another 2, and tatzmiach, which is the additional 5th. Daf Pehe. How do we know that we can rely on the Rabbanan to be experts in agricultural questions regarding these shilas? Our answer is we already know the Shir Yanika, which is 3 tvachim, from the Chayri Yesh Ve'aretz. They could smell the land, the reach of the land, and they would know what was good for the land, and one of the areas of their expertise was Shir Yanika. An aruga always had 1 tefach border for people to walk on in order to be able to water it, to be able to water the aruga, and this is not included in the 6x6 tvachim. Since if it was included, you'd only have a distance of 2 tvachim between the middle side and the others, and that would create a problem of kilayim. If someone in an aruga planted many seeds down the middle, 1 tefach wide and 1 deep, can one still plant 5 different minim in the aruga? So is this called a hecker, so as not to have a problem of kilayim? Rav Shesha says there is kilayim. Rav Asi says no problem of kilayim, since it's not mevatel the shura. Daf Pei Vav, the Mishnah. If a woman has relations, and within 3 days emits shichvas zera, she becomes tame. This is learned from the pasuk by Kabbalah Satira, Shmais Yotes, Heye nechenim lishleishas yamim, be ready for a 3-day period, i.e. stop having relations before, on Wednesday, because Kabbalah Satira would be on Shabbos. So if they would wait 3 days, it would be impossible for her to see the Shechvas Zera, and she would be tar, and everybody would be tar, for Kabbalah Satira. Also, even 3 days after Mila, a child is in a situation of sakana, and it can be Mechal Shabbos for him. Also, a red string is attached to the Sa'ir, that is called the Azazel on Yom Kippur, and finally, anointing oneself on Yom Kippur is the same as eating on Yom Kippur. Gemara. The Reisha is not like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who holds Pailetas Shechvas Zera is tahar not tamei. But the Seifa is like him regarding the child after the Bris Mila. Rabbi Yishmael holds that an emission is tamei for 3 days and becomes tahar only on the 4th day after Tashmish, but it is tali in Einus. An Einus is a 12-hour period. So if the Tashmish occurred on late Wednesday, 4 Einus will pass, Wednesday night, Thursday day, Thursday night, and Friday day, and she'll be tahar on Shabbos. If Tashmish was on Wednesday morning, 5 Einus will pass. And if it was Tuesday p.m., 6 Einus will pass. And on Shabbos, in each of these cases, she would be tahar. 1 week before Kabbalah Satira, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai early in the day, and he came down at the same time of the day. Rapuna says the rule is Yisrael Kedoshim Heim, so we don't have Tashmish by day, only by night, due to Tznius. Unless, of course, the house is dark, then Rava says it would be mutter, even by day. Rabbi Akiva holds a woman needs at least 5 Einus to become tahar. So if they were told to stop having relations on Wednesday morning, why couldn't Kabbalah Satira have been on Friday night? I.e. you now have 5 Einus that have passed, Wednesday day, Wednesday night, Thursday day, Thursday night, and Friday day. Rabbi Yitzchak answers, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give the Torah during the day. After 3 days, a woman becomes tahar with Shechvas Zera, since the Zera spoils and becomes incapable of causing conception. And this is only by a woman who is Yisraelis, but by an Akum, it stays Tameh even beyond 3 days. According to the Tanakhama, the Torah was given on Vav Sivan. Rabbi Yossi holds, the Torah was given on Zion Sivan. Rava says, all agree that Bnei Yisrael came to Midbar Sinai and Rosh Chodesh Sivan, since the Pasuk says, Bayayim Hazeh, and it's like the Hazeh by HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim, which is referring to Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Both say Hazeh, therefore both are referring to Rosh Chodesh. Also, all agree that Matan Torah was on Shabbos. The Machlekes is by Bikviya de Yarcha. What day was Rosh Chodesh? According to Rabbi Yossi, Rosh Chodesh was on Sunday, and they came to Midbar Sinai on Rosh Chodesh and rested on Sunday. On Monday, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai, and Hashem said to about Klal Yisrael, "Va'atem tiyulim amlechas kayanim v'goy kodesh." On Tuesday, Hashem gave them the mitzvahs of Hagbola, setting borders around the mountain. Hagbola comes from the word gvul, borders that they couldn't come too close to the mountain. On Wednesday, Moshe Rabbeinu went up, and Hashem told him to tell Klal Yisrael not to have marital relations until Kabbalah Satira, so they would all be sanctified. This was the mitzvah of Prisha. Thursday and Friday, they were Pirish, and Shabbos was Kabbalah Satira. According to Rabbanan, Rosh Chodesh was on Monday, continuing on Daf Pei Zayin. So they came to Midbar Sinai. On Tuesday, Hashem says, Atem Tiyum Amlechas Kayanim V'Goy Kodesh. On Wednesday was the mitzvah of Hagbalah. On Thursday, he said the mitzvah of Prisha. So according to Rabbi Yossi, they had 3 days of Prisha, 2 days of the Pasuk, Wednesday and Thursday, and Moshe Rabbeinu added a 3rd day of Friday. As we know, Moshe did 3 things on his own judgment, and Hashem agreed with him. Number one, he added an extra day of Prisha, Friday. Number two, Moshe also separated from his wife, but did not continue relations after Kabbalah Satira. And number three, when he saw the Egel Hazav, he broke the Luchais. And in fact, we know that Hashem agreed with Moshe Rabbeinu regarding the extra day of Prisha, since the Shekhinah did not rest on Sinai on Friday, but rather it rested on Shabbos. From the Pasuk of Vayaged Moshe es Divrei Ha'am El Hashem, we learn that after Moshe Rabbeinu told Bnei Yisrael the rewards for doing the mitzvahs and the punishment for not doing them, Bnei Yisrael then accepted the Torah. In Mara, Bnei Yisrael was commanded with the mitzvah of Erev Tchumen, that they can't travel more than 2,000 amas outside of a city on Shabbos. According to Rava, they were not given this mitzvah at Mara. Regarding Pesach, on Yadala Nisan, they shechted the Karban Pesach. The night of Tesvav Nisan was Makas Becheres, and on the day of Tesvav, they left Mitzrayim. And Tesvav was on a Thursday. The Gemara says on the 15th of Iyar, Bnei Yisrael complained about the lack of food. So the next day, Sunday, Mun fell for the first time. On the day Rosh Chodesh Nisan, there were 10 famous things which occurred. Rosh Chodesh Nisan was on Sunday. Number one, Maisa Bereshis. Number two, the Nesiyim for Chanukas HaMishkan. Number three, the first day the Kehanim did Avoida instead of the Becheres doing the Avoida. Number four, the first day of Kabbanas Tzibur. Number five, the first day Eish came from Shamayim to the Mizbeach. Number six, the first day Kachim became restricted to certain places. Number seven, the first day the Shechina rested. Number eight, the first day the Kohanim were Mavarech Klal Yisrael with Birchas Kayanim. Number 9, the first day that it was usher to offer a carbon outside of the Mishkan. And number 10, that Nisan was the first of the months. In a normal year, days move forward 4 days. So if Rosh Hashanah, for example, is on Tuesday, the next year it's 4 days later and it's on Shabbos. This is because a regular year has 354 days. 350 divided by 7 is equal to 50 weeks, plus the additional 4 days. This, of course, is not true if a year is chaser or mole. We know that Cheshvan and Kislev, although one normally has 30 and one normally has 29, in some years both have 30, which means the year is called mole, so the year has 355 days. And in some years, both have only 29 days, so the year is called chaser, and then the year has only 353 days. In a leap year, it's 5 days later, since you add an extra 29 days of Adar. Today, by the way, the extra Adar always has 30 days. So a regular leap year would have Yom Tovim falling out 6 days later than the year before. If the leap year is chaser, it would be 5 days later. And if it's mole, it would be 7 days later. In the case of Meuberes mole, the year would have 385 days, a number perfectly divisible by 7, and all Yom Tovim would fall on the same days for 2 years in a row. Daf Peches. The one from Galil Darshant. Baruch Hashem who gave a threefold Torah, Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim, to a threefold people. Kohanim, Levi'im, and Yisraelim, by one who was born in the third person in the family, i.e. Moshe Rabbeinu, after Miriam and Aaron, on the third day of Prisha, in the third month, which is Sivan, and this is like the Rabbanan who hold that Prisha began on Thursday, on day one, and ended on Shabbos, day three. Regardless of this Maskana, the day we celebrate Shavuos, by the way, today, is always 50 days after Pesach, Dus Tzviras HaOmer, since Pesach is Tesvav Nisan, and our calendars fix Nisan as Mole, and Iyar as Chaser. Shavuos will always be on Vav Sivan. In Chutz Laretz, since we keep an extra day of Yontif, Minig HaBeseinu B'Yadeinu, we also celebrate a second day of Shavuos, which is kept on Zion Sivan. But in Torah, the Pasuk in Shema Yisrael Tes says, Vayisyatzvu B'tachtis Hahar. They stood at the foot of the mountain. Avdimi Bar Chama says, Melamed Shakafa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aleihem Es Hahar Kegiyis. This teaches us that Hashem covered Klal Yisrael with the mountain, like an overturned beer keg, and said, if you're Makabal V'Torah, that's fine. But if not, Sham Tehei Kvuraschem, there will be your burial place. So it appears that the Klal Yisrael needed to be coerced to accept the Torah. And Taisus asks that since Klal Yisrael had already declared, Naseh V'Nishma, whatever Hashem says, we will do and we will hear in the Pasuk in Shmais, Perakov Dalad, Pasuk Zion, why was it necessary to coerce them? They should have accepted it immediately. They already said Naseh V'Nishma. Taisus answers that after seeing the fire and brimstone in Har Sinai, Hashem was concerned that Klal Yisrael would be so afraid that they would change their minds and not want to accept the Torah. Hence, it was necessary to coerce them. Also, the Midrash Tanchuma says Naseh V'Nishma was said only for Torah Shebiksav, but for Torah Shebalpeh, Klal Yisrael needed to be coerced via Kafalei Amar Kegigis. By Achashverosh, after the Nes of Purim, they accepted the Torah again, as the Pasuk says in Megillas Esther, Kimu v'kiblu ha'yehudim, Kimu ma shekiblu kvar. They were Mekayim. They accepted right now what they had already been Mekabel before at the time of Har Sinai. The Gemara says before Klal Yisrael said Naseh V'Nishma, the earth was afraid because Hashem made a deal with Maaseh Bereishis and said that the world can only continue to exist if Klal Yisrael accepts the Torah. That's why the Pasuk says Yoyim Hashishi. The extra hey by Yoyim Hashishi is telling us that Klal Yisrael must accept the Torah on Vav, on Hashishi, the sixth day, Vav Sivan, which is the day of Kibbul, of Kabbalah's HaTorah on Shavuos. Reb Simai said when Klal Yisrael first said Naseh before Nishma, 600,000 malachim came to each member of Klal Yisrael and put two crowns on them. And the Marsha explains, one for Nasa, one crown for Nasa, and one for Nishma, corresponding to the Pasuk of Atem Tiyulim Amlechas Kainim, which we mentioned before. After the Chet of the Egel, these crowns were taken off. But Reish Lakish said, Lo'asid Lavai, the crowns will be returned to us in the time of Mashiach and the Bais Shlishi. The Gemara says Klal Yisrael is compared to an apple. Just like its fruit grows before its leaves, so to Klal Yisrael said Naseh before Nishma. The fact that Klal Yisrael was chayta with the Egel Hazav at the time of Kabbalah Satira, it was equivalent with a Kala who was chayta at the time of the Chuppah. Rabbi Yochanan says every statement said by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by the Aseres HaDibros, was translated into 70 languages so the Goyim could understand each one of them. And two crowns were also tied to each statement. Rava said, Torah is like a life medicine. Those who learn it and darshan it get that potion of life. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, after each statement of Hashem by Kabbalah Satira, the world became filled with the smell of spices, and the neshama of Klal Yisrael left them. Because of this, Hashem brought down dew to resurrect their neshamas, and it will also be used la'asad lavai for trias hamesim. Out of fear of Hashem's voice after each of the dibras, Klal Yisrael retreated back 12 milin, and the malachim helped him come back slowly. When Moshe Rabbeinu came up to Shemayim, the malachim questioned his presence and asked why Hashem would give the Torah to Basar Vadam. How would they be worthy of getting the Torah? Hashem answered, they were worthy and not the angels, because the angels were not enslaved to Pare, and they didn't have the nisyonis of dealing with Avodah Zarah, giving kavod to parents, or dealing with the Yetzer Hara. Therefore, people were more ready to get the Torah than they were. Daf Peites. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim, he saw Hashem tying little crowns on top of certain letters. Seven letters, by the way, have three strokes at the top of them. Shatnez, Getz, Shin, Ayin, Tes, Nun, Zayin, Gimel, Tzadik. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim, he told Klal Yisrael that he would be going for 40 days and would come back in the sixth hour. At the end of the 40 days, the Satan came and brought confusion to Klal Yisrael. He asked them, where is Moshe Rabbeinu already? So then they thought maybe that he died. He went up, by the way, on Zayin Sivan. They thought that Zayin Sivan counted as day one, which it did not. So they expected him back down on Tes Zayin Tammuz, not Yud Zayin Tammuz, the day that he was really supposed to come down. The Gemara asks, where does the name Har Sinai come from? Our answer is, Har Shanasa Boi Nisim Li Yisrael. The Nes is where the word Sinai comes from. Rabbi Yossi said Har Sinai had five names, Midbar Tzin from Tzivoy, Midbar Kadesh from Kadesh, Kedemais, the Torah from before, Paran, which comes from Paru Veravu, and Sinai. And its actual name, however, was Cheriv. Others say that its real name was Sinai, but it was called Cheriv because the ruin occurred to it via Avodah Zarah, the Churva. Finally, in the future, Hashem will say to the Avos, your children sinned in front of me, but the Zchus Avos will protect Klal Yisrael despite their Averis. The next Mishnah. To be chayav on Shabbos for Haitzah of carrying wood, one must carry at least enough wood to cook a chicken egg. This is the fastest cooking egg. For spices, enough to season an egg. And a few different spices can be mitzaref to achieve this shear. The shells of a nut or a pomegranate, the shear is enough to dye the small cloth on top of a woman's hat. Urine or detergent, the shear is enough to wash this cloth. Rabbi Yehuda says enough to remove a bloodstain of a nida. Gemara. If someone uses spices of iser in a pot, we say that they can only be mitzaref if they are roy to actually season. So the same thing is true in our Mishnah. Daf Tzadik. Only produce that has actual roots has a chiyuv of shvius. The next Mishnah. The shear to be chayav for haitzah on Shabbos for pepper is a kalsho, just a little bit, because that's chashev. Rashi, by the way, says that this is not referring to our pepper today. Tar is also a kalsho. Fragrant spices, as well a kalsho. Pieces of svarim for geniza, also a kalsho. Rabbi Yehuda says, even for avodah zarah, it's kalshehu as well. Gemara. Pepper is good for someone who has bad breath. The next Mishnah. A spice chest with multiple compartments of different spices, if it's taken out on Shabbos, one is chayav only for one chattas, because it's only one act of haitzah. Garden seeds, even just five seeds. Certain seeds, like the cucumber seed, even two seeds, since this is considered to be chashev. A locust, if it is kosher and alive, he's chayav even if it's just a kalsho, since this is considered chashev, since people will put it away for a child to play with. If it is dead, then it's only chayav if it's a shear kegregeris, the size of a fig, since if it's dead, it's like any other food, and you need that kind of a shear. A non-kosher locust, however, is not chashev, since people will not put it away for a child out of fear that he might come to eat it. Rabbi Yehuda holds even a live non-kosher locust is chayev b'kalsho, since even in that case it's chashev, because somebody would give it to a child to play with. Kedushas HaDaf brings that the halacha follows the opinion brought in the Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Kuf Yudal and Amar Alf, that says, Katan eichel nevelis, ein bezdin mitzuvin lahafrisha. Bezdin is not machuyev to restrain a young child from eating a non-kosher food item or violating other isurim. Even though a father is mitzuva to train his children in the performance of mitzvahs, this obligation only applies to an older child, shehigil achinuch, one who has reached the age when he can properly be trained. Rashi here asks, why then is it wrong to give a young child a non-kosher locust to play with? So Rashi answers, citing the Gemara in Yevamos, that one need not restrain a child from eating non-kosher food only when the child takes the food on his own. However, one may not personally give a child a non-kosher food item to eat. The Magen Avraham, in Or HaChaim, Simen, Shin Mem Gimel, Sifkot and Gimel, cites the Hagos HaShri, who deduces from this Gemara, that not only is it usur to directly feed a young child non-kosher food, a person is also prohibited from indirectly causing him to eat non-kosher food, such as by giving him a 9 kosher locust to play with. The Gemara. One seed is not considered chashev, since no one bothers carrying one seed. So if one carries one seed, he's not chayev for haitzah. Gemara. It is usher to eat a live locust because of Baal Tishaktsu. This marks the end of this parak. Now let's begin the 10th parak, Hamatzniyah, the Mishnah. Although normally there is a shear for the chiyav of haitzah by seeds, but if one stores away even a small plant for medicine, or as a sale sample, then he's chayev, since by storing it he shows, at least to him, that it's chashev. But if someone else takes it out, they're potter from haitzah, since it's not now a full shear. Daf Tzadik Alf, Gemara. Our Mishnah is not like Reb Shimon ben Elazar, who holds that something which isn't viable to put away in storage, but Reuven puts it away, if Shimon carries it, Shimon is chayev. If he took out one seed to plant, changed his mind, and brought it back in, so he's potter, since it's no longer called chashev. And this is speaking in a situation where it didn't get mixed up with other seeds, but it's still independent. Kamash Malan, in that case, he's still potter. The next Mishnah. If someone took food out of his house, didn't take it into a Rishus HaRabim, but put it on his doorstep, which is a Carmelis, and now someone comes and brings it to a Rishus HaRabim, they're potter, since it's not a full Akira in a Rishus HaYachid, and Hanacha in a Rishus HaRabim. Both of those were not done in one Maisa. There was a Hefsik in the middle with the Carmelis. If he had a basket of Paris, took it from the house and put it on the last step right before the Rishus HaRabim, which is called an Iskufa, then he's potter, even if most of the Paris are already in a Rishus HaRabim. The Gemara. The Mishnah is mashma, that even if virtually all the Paris stick out into the Rishus HaRabim, but since the basket still sits in the Rishus HaYachid, he's potter, since the basket is what holds the Paris all together. And that's not in the Rishus HaRabim. If someone steals a wallet and carries a dalet amos b'Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos, even though he's chayev misa for haitzah, we still are machayev him to pay for the wallet. And we don't say kimle b'derabim mine. Kimle b'derabim mine is a rule that says if a person does an act that is machayev him for both misa and a lesser punishment, he only gets the misa, not the second lesser punishment. Here, however, we do not say kimle b'derabim mine, since the two averas happened at different times. The geneva happened when he picked it up, and the haitzah happened when he took it outside. Daf Tzadik Beis, the next Mishnah. If one takes out an article on Shabbos with via haitzah, he's chayev, whether he took it with his right hand or with his left hand, or whether it was in his pocket or on his shoulders. And a shoulder is chayev, since this was the method used by the B'nai Kohas to transport the Mishkan. However, there are a number of ways that if one carries, they would be putter. These include, if a person carries an item kil achar yad, with the back of his hand, i.e. in an unusual manner, or he carries it on his foot, in his hair, in his ear, in his shirt, hem or shoe, he's putter, since these are not the normal derech to carry. The Gemara. Although normally above 10 tvachim is not called a Rishus HaRabim, but if one carries an item higher than 10 tvachim, Rabbi Elazar says he's chayev, since the B'nai Kohas carried the Mishkan at a height of more than 10 tvachim. Mar said, the Shechina only rests with someone who is wise, strong, wealthy, and tall. And the Rabbah in Shemayna Prakim Perek Zayin says Gibor and Asher don't mean literally strong and rich. Rather, they mean like the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Aleph, which says, Ezehu gibor ha-kevish es yitzrei, Ezehu asher ha-sameach bechelkei. The next Mishnah. If someone has kavanah to carry on Shabbos a bundle in front of him, but it ended up behind him, he's potter. Rashi says this is like misasek, that he didn't want it to occur that way. But if it ends up vice versa, he really wanted to carry it behind him, but it ended up in front of him, then he's chayev. If a woman wears a sinar, a tzniyastika, underskirt, and hangs an item on it to be carried in a Rishus HaRabim, whether it's in front or back, she's chayev, because it's the normal way to carry. Rabbi Yehuda says, a mailman or a courier, whether he carries mail front or back, he's chayev, since it's the normal derech to carry it both ways. Gemara. By the second case, which was having kavana to put it in back and it ended up in front, in that case he would be chayev, since the protection when one moves it from the back to the front actually improves. Therefore, since it improves, a person benefits, and therefore, he would be chayev. We'll continue with the next Mishnah here at the bottom of Tzadik Beis Amid Beis on the next tape of Mirtz Hashem, but at this point we will conclude this shir.